Martin. The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob.
Ah, you're awful.
And A.J. Appleton.
Sin-shoe-chew. Mouthful.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net and writer over at SoCalledFantasyExperts.com. On the line, as always, my co-host, AJ Applegarth, the jerk. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing. I'm just bitter. I'm so mad at myself for not letting you talk me into starting Donaldson this week after what? A month of bad play, and all of a sudden you were like, "Oh, I'm feeling it," and I had no idea why, and I was like, "This doesn't make any sense." Okay. And Franco was playing Colorado this week, so I was like, "Nah, I'll take the risk." And three home runs later, in 3 days, I'm looking like an a-hole. So anyway, that's how my week started. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I was actually down at the O's game last night with a buddy of mine who's a friend from back in the day in high school. He lives over in Vietnam now, and he was back here with a couple of buddies from there. And they're doing like a big 11 ballpark tour to watch games and everything. So this was their second stop. They were up in Philly for the Braves Phillies game Monday, and then came down here yesterday. So,
cool.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Trying to find my mute button, and it didn't really work. But
said he so just yeah, it was smacked the microphone. It's okay.
Yeah, it was a good time though. So good game. O's put the beat down on KC, and who's been pretty hot lately. So it was nice to see.
Definitely, man. All right, well, got a big show ahead of us, as always. We're doing our wide receiver preview. If you've missed the last two shows, we did quarterbacks and running backs already. So make sure you go back and listen up to those. Helping us this week is Dennis Sosik from So-Called Fantasy Experts and Fantasy Six Pack. He double dips here on both sides. So two good sides to be on. Let's bring him on here. What's going on, Dennis?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for
hey,
having
how are
me.
You? Yeah, hey, absolutely.
Good.
So what we try and do is, you wrote the wide receiver preview article over on Fantasy Six Pack. So I'd like to bring on the guy who wrote it for the site. And give a little insight, since obviously you've done a lot of research on the position just to write the article. Figure you're a good place to go.
how about that?
Yeah. So I usually start out with a little draft strategy here, and look, it's in years past, we've been doing the zero running back strategy. So receivers have gone really heavy early on. And I avoided that strategy for so long until kind of last year, I kind of bought into it. And apparently that was the wrong year to finally buy into it, because running backs kind of ruled the show, but really made a big comeback last year. So this year, I pretty much mentioned it last week, is that I'm kind of really going the balance route on my wide receivers and my running backs. Now, I'm not going to just go, I took a receiver, so now I'm taking a running back. I took a running back, so now I'm going to take a receiver. I'm going to be pretty balanced, as in at the end of the draft, I'm probably going to have six of each, or, whatever the number ends up being. And I'm not going to go most likely, you know, you won't see me going like a long run of where I'm just taking a bunch of receivers. Now, of course, that depends on how the draft falls to me. It could be kind of crazy where things just happen to fall that way, but it's kind of unlikely from all the mocks I've done and everything else already. It seems to be fairly unlikely. Now, of course, in PPR, your strategy changes a little bit, and it does kind of lean things toward the wide receivers. I mean, this is another topic for another show, but in my opinion, kind of PPR kind of needs to be on the way out. You know, there was a whole reason for doing PPR. It was back in the day when passing wasn't as prolific as it is now, and it was to get the receivers more even with all the running backs that were doing all the heavy lifting in fantasy. But it's not that way anymore, and PPR is almost skewing it the complete opposite way. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm kind of balanced with it. You know, I do kind of want to get one of each in the first couple rounds and then, you know, just kind of judge it from there, really. But what's your take on your strategy there, Dennis?
It depends on where you're picking at, of course. But, you know, you have to be flexible with your outlook on the draft and let the draft come to you. You know, if it's the first couple of picks, obviously you're taking one of the three stud running backs, and then, you know, depending upon when it comes back to you, what do you take? I think you're probably headed toward a receiver, but in PPR, but, you know, it depends on where you're drafting at, and in the middle rounds, you're looking for your undervalued veterans and upside plays that can put you over the top. So, yeah, I let the draft come to me and go from there.
Yeah, I kind of follow along that. I mean, again, it definitely depends on where I'm drafting, but I can't come up with a set, okay, I'm going to take this player in round one. Okay, I'm going to take this player in round two. I'm going to go this player and or position, you know, round three. There's just too many variables at this point and too many, you know, good players to really try to do that and try to rack your brain over who's – you think could be available, because every league's different and there's always somebody in every league that you're in that's going to go and, like, you know, make a crazy pick way too early and take a guy that maybe you were looking at in fifth or sixth round, but they're looking at him, you know, in the second or third round for some reason. So, you know, you try to just take it as it comes and adjust on the fly, if you will.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. So the next thing we do here, Dennis, is we get into some kind of hot topic questions, whatever you want to call it. And we'll start here with a very premier receiver, and that's Mike Evans. And do you see his value taking a hit I guess that's probably obvious. It does. But what kind of hit does it take with the addition of DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard there in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I don't think it takes that much of a hit. I don't think it hurts him that much. I think it actually will force opponents to stop double-teaming Mike Evans. And I don't think he loses that much value, and I still think he'll get his 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. We'll see probably a dip in targets, but I think he'll make more of those targets and more of a red zone opportunities there.
Yeah,
I kind of see. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, and that's – you said the dip in targets, and that's one of the things that – you know, a lot of people are kind of looking at is that really drove his value last year a lot. Was, I mean, a career high 173 targets, and he's very unlikely to match that. And there's something on Roto World that we found while we were prepping for this show, and it was a quote from, I guess it was just a random, oh, it's a source. Winning, Losing, and Plays. I have no idea who that is, but they got put here on Roto World as the source of this. And it was basically that Mike Evans was the top 12 fantasy scorer in just one of the final 8 weeks of last season. And he finished outside of the top 40 four of those 8 weeks. And that, you know, at his ADP, it seems like it's a bit, almost a bit of a reach. And then you consider he has two much better weapons next to him as compared to last season. And you got to kind of wonder there. So, AJ, I don't know, what were you going to say?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I definitely look at Deshaun as more of that deep threat, you know, stretch the field. I mean, he's not as quick as he used to be, but he can still get down there and you know, make some big plays when needed. And I think that's what they're going to try to do a lot more with him is get him going deeper, and then that'll free up Evans, hopefully across the middle or, you know, on a short in and out route, something like that, just to get him his targets. But yeah, I mean, 173 targets is absolutely absurd number of targets. I don't see him, you know, getting that many again unless they just completely abandon the run. But I don't think they're looking to do that yet either. So I like Evans. I've had him, you know, the past few years on various teams, and he's been pretty good. So, you know, you got to like the production, but I could see, you know, the PPR side of it coming down a little bit this year because of those other guys being there. And you can't forget about the other tight end that they had there last year. I can't think of his name right now. I'm blanking on it. But
Cameron Brate.
Yes, thank you. Cameron Brate.
Yeah.
I mean,
he also had – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say he's like forgotten at this point because they went out and drafted Howard, and you know he was pretty solid for them. So you got to keep an eye on him too.
Yeah, I don't think they had anyone to throw to besides Evans last year either. And Winston being so young, I think he was, you know, just going with the guy that he was going to try to catch the ball. So he goes, keeps pumping it to Evans all game, and that's why he got those targets. But I think now with arrival of two more stars or two more opportunities, that I think Evans will get more of quality receptions more than just quantity.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm, you know, in a couple mocks I've done, I've taken him in the first round after obviously the first three receivers, but I'm nervous every time I take him, but I feel like he deserves it based on what he did last year, but that's probably the wrong thing to do. You just have to hope that he can match that. The next guy I want to talk about here is Amari Cooper, and everybody loves this guy as far as talent, but it hasn't quite shown up yet on the field, not consistently. And the one place that we're noticing a huge deficiency in his game is in the red zone. And just to throw some stats out there for you, last year he had 17 targets in the red zone. Not a terrible number, but not a good number either. In fact, he was third on his own team. But he converted zero of those for touchdowns. I mean, we're talking like Julio Jones territory for that. Like, it's that bad. and everybody knows it with Julio Jones. But Julio Jones does it everywhere else, so you don't worry about it. You would love to get more from Julio in the red zone, but you can still get wide receiver one production out of Julio without that. But Cooper is struggling to get this production without that. So, do we see a change in this for him to return the value at his current ADP?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never been a big Cooper fan personally. I mean, he's good, but he just doesn't return that value of getting touchdowns. And Michael Crabtree being there has even further hurt him with that. I mean, that's all Crabb does, is get, you know, 60 yards in a game and two touchdowns. So you'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, I can't see taking Cooper as my number one receiver, you know, waiting for him to score a touchdown one of these weeks. I mean, he's not done it. I don't think he's going to do it as long as Crabtree's on the other side of him.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got guys like Seth Roberts, you know, out producing you, it's not good.
Yeah.
So hopefully, yes. I mean, yeah, I will likely skip him in all of my drafts. You know, unless something crazy happens and he drops to like the fourth round, I just don't see that happening clearly because people are still going after him in the second round, and I just will never do it.
Yeah, they're going by his name.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's got all the talent in the world. I mean, like, to me, he really kind of is. And the comparison to Julio with the red zone stuff is kind of weird because he kind of reminds you of Julio Jones when he actually performs, and, like, the way he catches and can run, and he's a strong guy on the field. But it just isn't really clicking yet. So it's something to see, but he's definitely a risky pick there in the second round. Another guy that's kind of risky but blew up in the second half of last year, Tyreek Hill for Kansas City. Now, we all know Macklin is not there anymore, so this is Tyreek Hill's wide receiving core now. But can he really produce as a full-time receiver, you know, coming out of that wide receiver one spot, you know, lined up against the best of the best against the other side? You know, to me, last year he was kind of a gadget guy, and he just had some huge plays, and it was working for him. I mean, he's fast and stuff like that, but is he a true wide receiver one, and kind of where are you looking to take him in drafts coming up?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get Tyreek Hill on any of my teams. I mean, he's being overdrafted, and like you said earlier, he's a gadget player. I think there's a major difference in the team being a team's number one and being treated as by the opposing defense like that, and being a part-time player who signed in a limited role as he did last year. I don't think it's – his production is probably – that's going to be his ceiling last year, and I don't think it's going to get any better than that. I think it's going to be reduced, and people are going to be keen on him this year.
Yeah, I think he'll be interesting to watch, but I think that a lot of people are going to just jump on board for him a lot earlier than I would plan to. I mean, he's got the talent, but all he's really shown is all of these other little niche things to do. I mean, he does everything, but it was in such a limited role last year that, you know, if he's going to be the main guy, he's going to have to be, in my mind, more focused as a receiver. I don't know if they're going to want him to be doing all of the punt returning, if they're going to want him to do, you know, some of these crazy running plays that he was doing before. I think, you know, he'll still get some opportunities, you know, and if the game is on the line and that's what they need to do, he's going to be the guy to go to. But I think that Reed's going to have to make the decision to ease him out of some of those other tasks and gadgets to focus more on being the receiver.
Yeah, well, Andy Reid has already said he's not going to be the kick returner, and he might still return some punts. I'm agreeing with you that he's going to see a lot less of those. Like, you don't usually see your number one receiver punt returning on a regular basis. Like, Pittsburgh, you know, every once in a while you'll see Antonio Brown back there and stuff like that. But you don't typically see the number one guy returning punts every single time, because it's just a recipe for disaster. It's eventually going to lead to a pretty major injury, and you don't want that. I will not be drafting him either. His ADP right now across all the sites, according to Fantasy Pros, is 47 overall, 22nd receiver. I won't be doing it. I mean, I've got him ranked in the mid-30s. I've got him ranked behind a lot of other guys that I think can be a little more reliable and consistent. And I know Tyree's going to have those gigantic games and people are going to go, "Oh, I told you so." And you watch, you know, it'll happen like week one. Everybody's going to like yell at me on Twitter about it, but eventually it'll catch up to him. I just don't think he's a wide receiver one. I just really don't. So I think we're all in agreement there. Another guy that's taken over for a vacated wide receiver one spot is going to be Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Brandon Cooks is off to New England now. Michael Thomas's ADP is sky high. He's going in round one in some drafts. Definitely not past the middle of round two in any mock I've ever done. Dennis, do you think his ADP or he can return his ADP value?
Yeah, I think so. I think he has one of the highest floors among receivers being drafted in the first two rounds. Every Saints target leader finished inside the top 20 of the Drew Brees era. So with Brandon Cooks' 120 targets gone, I think Michael Thomas will be the main guy there. I mean, Snead will be there to get some. Fleener will make it some. I don't know what him, his status. But I think Thomas will be the main guy there. And he gets the Renzo targets. He gets many targets as possible within the 20-yard line. So I think he's the man there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely worth his ADP and worth getting in late first round or definitely second round if you end up with the running back. He was such a great return last year, and that was with Cooks there. I feel like he even had a handful of better games than Cooks did. So, I think Brees is going to be looking to him early and often, and he's going to get it. I mean, that's a pass-first offense, and, you know, their running back situation with Peterson and still having Ingram, and then, the rookie coming in as well, Kamara, I believe it is. So, you know, you don't really know what you're getting there, but one thing is for certain, you know you're going to have Drew Brees throwing a ton of balls, and I think a lot of them are going to come Thomas's way.
Yeah, I like Thomas a lot. I do worry a little bit about the fact that Drew Brees and the Saints just like to spread that ball around a lot, and it never really seems to matter who they've got. The number one guy never ends up being a true wide receiver one in fantasy. So I don't think I will take him where he's going just because of that. But I do think he's going to have some pretty monster games. But I'm a little leery of taking him in the wide receiver one spot. But I'm not going to knock you if you do it. Just, you know, hopefully you've got some really, really solid other receivers to back him up, because I think you're going to need, you know, a really strong wide receiver two to make up for his lack of wide receiver one many weeks. So moving on here, we've got a lot of receivers that changed teams. And, you know, we're calling this bros in different area codes. We're really corny. But, that's what we like here. So we already mentioned DeSean Jackson to Tampa Bay. Just a couple, you know, a quick note on him. Like, what do you think his role and his impact in fantasy is going to be there, Dennis?
He's going to lessen the coverage for Evans, open up the offense, but he's going to be a boom or bust player. He'll have the weeks that he goes off for two touchdowns, and other weeks he'll give you three for 30. You're going to get that every season from Jackson.
Yeah.
Pretty much agree there. I don't think there's much else to say with him, huh, AJ?
No, not really. Like I said, I mean, he's already kind of lost a step here and there. I mean, he's still a deep threat, but, you know, I just don't see him being super fantasy relevant. I mean, depends on what Evans does. If he's still going to be the main go-to, like we just kind of talked about, he may not be as much, and he'll be getting more quality than that, you know, lesser quality that he was getting last year is probably getting shifted to Deshaun. So.
Yeah, it's possible. It's definitely possible. Winston is a little unreliable, in my opinion, and we talked about that in the quarterback show.
Yeah.
We also talked about Brandon Cooks moving over to New England. You know, he gets Tom Brady. He moves from Drew Brees to Tom Brady. Like,
that's rough.
I feel yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's
man,
rough.
My life sucks.
God. But you know what? What are we thinking about Cooks here? I mean, my first initial thought was, oh hell yeah! Like now he's gonna go and be like the main guy in New England because they really haven't had one. The last time they had like a true main receiver, you're thinking Randy Moss. Now I'm not thinking we're getting Randy Moss numbers. That's insane. But you know, you're thinking he's easily gonna be the number one receiver there. But I don't know. I have a little hesitation with it. And Dennis, I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are about him.
Yeah, I think he's another one that's going to be a boomer bust player weekly. You know, his role is going to be inconsistent based on, you know, the Patriots' master game plans for every week. So, I mean, he's going to be the same thing as, I think, in a way, Jackson. With, I'm obviously a little more quality, but he's going to have, you know, weeks that he goes off and weeks that you'll be pissed that you played him. So, you know, with Brady, you know, spraying the ball around, I don't think he's going to be a go-to guy there at all. So I think it's just whatever their game plan is, who's going to get the ball, and they'll get the W and move on.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to have some good games, and I think he's still going to get, you know, maybe 4 to 5 catches per game, you know, almost every week. I think that's feasible, but you're going to have Edelman still there. You're going to have hopefully a healthy Gronkowski. You're going to have, you know, 17 running backs that are all going to be getting 54 targets a game. So it's going to be, there's a lot of mouths to feed in New England. And that's why they're such a good team, because they have so much talent anywhere you look offensively. But from a fantasy standpoint, it's very frustrating to own their players unless you have Tom Brady, because he's the one dictating all of these passes. But I do feel like Cooks was a little, I don't want to say erratic last year, but he definitely had some games that were just absolute stinkers. And, you know, you're looking at him as your number one guy. You know, you want to be able to rely on your first pick. Or first receiving pick, potentially, if that's where you're going. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And that's, you guys pointed out all the hesitations I have with taking him where he's going right now in drafts. And early on, I did a mock draft really early on, and was like, I took him at the end of the second round. I think I had like the second pick. So it was like the very end of the second round, and I was so happy. And then later on, I started thinking about it more, and all your old points started running through my head. Excuse me. So we've got a bunch of stuff all tied to Washington here. You know, we've got Terrell Pryor, Pierre Garçon, and we already mentioned DeSean Jackson. But, you know, Garçon's going to San Francisco. He came from Washington. And Pryor is coming from Cleveland going to Washington. What do we think about these guys? You know, Garçon's coming off of a kind of a bounce back year from the couple years before that. Pryor had a really big season last year, you know, kind of first year as a receiver. Are we expecting more of the same from these guys? Good, better, worse? What, you know, what are we thinking?
I mean, I'm kind of thinking that Garcon definitely takes a hit because of his situation changing for the worse, I think. I mean, San Fran has a lot of work to do. You know, you still don't even know which quarterback is going to be throwing to him. But he did have a really good year last year, and he was very reliable guy to own, especially in DFS too. I mean, he had some great DFS games. So I think that he's going to be looked at as their number one there. And, you know, that pressure could mount. He's going to see obviously the best corners, you know, of opposing defenses. So I think his stock definitely takes a little bit of a hit. I do like Pryor. I think he's coming into, you know, a better situation than he was in. And he had how many different quarterbacks thrown to him last year, and he was still successful with every one of them. So I think now that he's got, you know, Captain, you like that, throwing the ball to him, and he should be, I think they're probably looking at Crowder as their number one, because he's been there, he's been in the offense, he knows the schemes and everything, but Pryor coming in makes for a really good number two, and I think he could fill in exactly where Pierre Garcon was last year, if not be better.
Yeah, Dennis, what are you thinking about these guys?
Well, I think Garcon is he's a PPR monster. I mean, he's never scored more than 6 touchdowns in a year. So, and then that offense where, you know, Hoyer is average at best. I don't think he's going to be doing much more than catching a bunch of short passes every game. So, I mean, he's probably a good third receiver to have in PPR leagues. And standard, I mean, he's not even in the ballpark where I would draft him at. Pryor, he played for my lowly Browns. He had a great year last year. I think he's having another great year this year. There's a lot of targets that are gone now from Washington with Deshaun gone and Garcon gone. So I think Cousins is going to have a field day with Pryor and Crowder, Dick and Duncan all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic with Pryor here. I am a Redskins fan, so I have to be cautious with everything that we do because we stink.
You're looking at a Browns fan. So.
I was going to say, maybe not. You got to know how I'm feeling, but
yeah.
That might be the one other franchise that I'm happy we're not.
Good point.
Yeah. But I don't know. The talent is there, man. Like, you know, the physicality, the all around football player is there. I just, a year of tape on him, you kind of are going to figure out his little moves and his tendencies and things like that. But yeah, I mean, the opportunity is going to be there, but I probably will not be taking him where he's drafted. I just like the other guys behind him a little bit more, but the upside is definitely there. As far as Garcon, you guys are right. I mean, PPR is pretty much the only place I'm taking him, and I'm not expecting much, but you know, hopefully just a bunch of catches every week in PPR leagues just to kind of keep his value up. A couple guys to finish it off here with. We got Alshon Jeffrey to Philly, AJ's team. And then Eric Decker, a late signing after he was cut from the Jets, signed to Tennessee, where they have a lot of weapons, it seems like now. AJ, go ahead and start us off with some Alshon talk.
Well, I loved this pick, obviously, you know, not just because I'm a Philly fan, but I think Alshon is a true number one guy, a number one talent, and they really haven't had that in Philly for a long time now. So, I mean, Jordan Matthews is good, don't get me wrong, but I think he's definitely a better suited as a number two or even, a nice option in the slot, which he may end up doing this year because they also got Torrey Smith. He's another one we didn't throw on this list, but he comes from San Fran to Philly. I think Wentz is going to be a little more comfortable this year, you know, after having a full year under his belt now and still learning the offense. You know, Alshon's got to come in and learn the new offense, obviously. So there's probably going to be some hiccups here and there, but as long as he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a big force for this team. And, you know, he's going to give them that physical number one guy that they need. So it'll be interesting to see. They went out and they got a couple good weapons. You know, Torrey is more of a DeSean Jackson type guy where he can stretch the field and kind of bring defenses away from the line. But I don't look at him as, he's not great. He's been very good in Baltimore, and then he had a really down year and was injured a bunch last year. So I think this will be a nice bounce back year for him, but Alshon's he's going to be the main guy. Between him and Ertz, there's going to be a ton of targets between those two.
Yeah, I'm. You mentioned the key thing there with Alshon, and that's the injuries. And I'll ask you answer, and then Dennis, you answer and give your little tidbit on Jeffrey there. His current ADP is 32 overall, so we're talking third round. Are you taking Jeffrey, knowing his injury history, in the third round?
I would if I already had, a lockdown receiver and running back. I'd probably be looking more for him in the fourth, personally, but I'm not against taking him in the third. He's already got some shoulder issues right now, though, too. So hopefully you gotta see how that comes out.
I don't think I even noticed that yet. That's crazy.
Yeah, I just saw it today when I was writing this agenda up. I think he fell awkwardly, catching a ball or something. So it's already
too hard. He's hurt. I don't know. I can't do it with this guy where he's getting draft steals. Dude, I get it. The talent's there. But I've owned him a couple times, and it just crushes you. All right, Dennis, what do you think about Jeffrey? You taking him at his ADP?
No. Like you said, I'd be too concerned with his injury history. As AJ said, he's already hurt. He's not going to play in the first preseason game. In the third round, I would be very leery of taking him that early. I mean, he's going to be in line for plenty of targets there in Philly, and he's going to want to prove himself there. So he's proven himself to be hurt all the time. That's all he's proven right now to me. But we'll see what happens during the regular season if he can prove to give himself a big contract there for this year. But I would not at third round. I wouldn't take him.
All right, so the last guy here that we said, and I mentioned him, Eric Decker to Tennessee. There's a lot of weapons there. I mean, is Decker going to be a guy? I mean, he was good in New York 2 years ago with Fitzpatrick having a good season. You know, are we expecting more of that, or are we going to see a pretty sharp decline?
I think it's tough to say because of everyone else that's there, but I mean, you look at Tajay Sharp, you got Rishard Matthews still. There's a lot of receiving targets there. They have Corey Davis, who we're going to talk about. And you got Delanie Walker. So this isn't – I don't look at Tennessee necessarily as a pass-first team, even though they have all these receiving weapons, because they have Murray and Henry in the backfield and – they're nothing to sneeze at, like we talked about last week. So,
right.
I think Tennessee could have a very good offense this year if everything meshes well, and Decker is going to be a nice complement to that offense. But I do see a dip in some targets and production compared to what he's done with both New York and with Denver as well.
Yeah, Dennis, do you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Titans have an excellent running game, and they're gonna, even though they got that down, Mariota's ascending to be a good quarterback. I think he, with all those targets there, I don't see Decker, doing. I think he'll probably do like 40 receptions, maybe 5 to 7 touchdowns, if that. And that's probably his ceiling right now for this season.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. His ADP right now is 93rd, so it's pretty late. But I think there's some guys around that range that I just feel like have a little more upside. And I know it's not all about upside with your picks, but I mean, look, you can do far worse than Decker, but there's some guys around him that I think can have much better seasons. So probably will be passing on Decker a little bit in most of my leagues. So we've mentioned a few of the rookies here, and there's quite a few of them, not as many that seem to be as exciting as the running backs. The rookie running backs here are really kind of making a lot of noise this season, and that's because you got guys like Zeke who have blown up the last couple of years and stuff like that. So the receivers tend to struggle for the most part when they come in as rookies, but we've got some big names that were drafted fairly early, and we mentioned him just a second ago, Corey Davis in Tennessee. What are we expecting out of Corey Davis? Dennis, I know you wrote about him a little bit, so what's your take on him?
Yeah, I think he's going to go into being a true number one receiver. But in that conservative offense in Tennessee, we talked about with Decker, they're more of a run first. So I think Davis lands in a good spot to become a number one receiver, but I don't think he's at best a number three this year in fantasy. And I don't think, being with the ADP is that, I don't think I'm going to take him that, anything more than that.
Yeah, I like Davis. I like his upside a lot. But again, with all the different weapons that they have there, I probably won't end up getting him in any of my leagues because people are just going to jump on him earlier than I'd be willing to.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised. I'm looking at the ADP now, and they're not all in on Fantasy Pros. The only ones we've got are NFL Fan Tracks and the FFC, which is the Fantasy Football Championship. So Yahoo, CBS. And did they remove ESPN from this, which is pretty hilarious, actually? I swear ESPN was on this like a little bit ago, but maybe not. He's actually below Decker, which in my opinion makes sense. But I swear for a while there, like Davis was getting drafted real early. Talking like 7th, 8th round early. And that's early for me, for him. But he's now dropped, into that 10th round range. So that's not terrible. You're kind of looking at not fantastic names in that range. So I don't know. I might take the plunge on him if he can drop a couple more spots than that for me. The next rookie, John Ross in Cincinnati. Yeah, this one's kind of peculiar. I was pretty surprised that they took John Ross, to be honest with you. Obviously they've got AJ Green, but they took the guy last year, and for some reason I'm blanking on his name, but they took the receiver last year, and they're kind of the same player. They're both just kind of speed guys, it felt like. Brandon LaFell was decent, especially when AJ Green was missing time. And so, they took John Ross, and I'm just not really sure where the fit is. any of you think that he's got much of a chance to do much of anything this season? Dennis, go ahead.
I don't think he does. I think he's another boomer bust receiver. I don't think he's going to cover enough targets for himself in that offense with AJ Green, and hopefully if Eifert can stay healthy, he's going to take away a lot of targets as well. I think the best thing he'll probably do for the Bengals would be returning kicks, and I don't think I'd be drafting him at all this year.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in Ross. Boyd was the guy that you were thinking of.
Yeah,
I mean, they still have him. They've got LaFell, who can step up and be a decent, wide out, but I just think that offense is just going to be, trying to force the run a little bit more, and then they're just going to still be forcing the ball straight to AJ Green. So I'm not looking for much out of Ross this year.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you guys. No, nothing much else to say there. The last guy that was getting a lot of press early on, it felt like, was Curtis Samuel, Carolina. I think it's kind of died off, honestly. I mean, it's all about Christian McCaffrey now. I mean, when you open up Twitter, it's Christian McCaffrey. And that pretty much means there's absolutely no way I'm getting Christian McCaffrey on any of my teams, because he's going to go in the second round in one of my drafts and all of my drafts probably, and there's just no chance. But Curtis Samuel, I mean, I guess he's a receiver. He's being listed as one. He's kind of going to play the same role as Christian McCaffrey, is what everybody kind of thinks. But I don't know. I mean, is he going to be worth much of anything in fantasy? I'm kind of feeling no here, but I think some people disagree with me.
I think he's going to be kind of like Tyreek Hill light, and he's just going to be used in all these different gimmicky plays and setups that Carolina is going to run, and they still have McCaffrey too, so it's kind of going to be a who's who of who's going to get the ball this time sort of deal. I mean, it's going to keep defenses on their heels, I think, from an NFL standpoint, but I don't really see that panning out to be much of a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, Dennis, you feeling anything with Samuel here?
No, not at all. I think he's more of, just like AJ said, he's like a Tyreek Hill, Percy Harvin wannabe. He's no more than filling, if you ever want to. Carolina's playing a horrible team or something, you throw him in there in a flex. Hopefully you get lucky with a boom play. But otherwise, I don't see no reason to have Samuel on my roster.
Yeah. So this next group of guys, that Mike Williams probably would have been over with Davis and Ross, but obviously we know the issues he's having with his back. I don't think anybody in their right mind is drafting him right now. But the next two, you got Zay Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster of Pittsburgh. These are kind of the only other rookies that are really getting looked at in a lot of drafts. Which one of these two, Dennis, do you like the most and why?
Actually, I like Jones better. I think with Watkins, being hurt, seems like every other game, I think Jones could be the go-to guy there, and he would be a great person to have in PPR leagues, even though that offense is not pass-friendly, but I think he'd be the go-to guy there once Watkins gets hurt. Notice I didn't say if, I said once. So I think he's worth the worth to look at, a nice sleeper pick to have, hiding under a bench there.
Yeah, I like Jones better for sure. He's a definite speedster. he's going to be a go-to target for them, I feel like, and he's going to have some fantasy relevance this year. The Schuster, Smith-Schuster, I think he's just got too much in front of him. I mean, you're getting Martavis Bryant back for how many games, we don't know yet. Depends on how much weed he decides to smoke beforehand.
And honestly, the commissioner's office needs to actually reinstate him.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't officially reinstated him yet.
Officially put back in now, but
which is crazy.
So, but even without Bryant there, I mean, you still have what's his name, Eli Rogers, who they drafted last year, and he was okay. Yeah, he wasn't a big factor. You know, I just think that they're going to be looking for, you know, the three B's to be doing everything, Brown, Bell, and Big Ben. So
yeah.
I don't see much out of him.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like everybody every year since Martavis Bryant kind of blew up is always looking for that third guy, that third receiver from Pittsburgh that's just going to come out of nowhere and be like the next thing. We tried it with Coates. Didn't work. Now everybody's trying it with him. I don't think it's going to work either. I feel like there was another guy that everybody was like really excited about in Pittsburgh, and it just never happens. So I'm not feeling it. Zay Jones, yeah, he's the guy there that I would take, but it'd be very late in drafts. You know, I just can't. I don't like relying on rookie receivers anyway. But then, you know, one in an offense that doesn't pass a lot, I don't want to deal with it. There's a couple guys, though, that were rookies last year, and we're calling them pseudo-rookies now. Josh Doctson and Laquon Treadwell. Dennis, are you at all trying to target them in drafts for this season?
I'd say Treadwell. I'd say no, I wouldn't. I don't want any part of him at all. I'm not interested in him, especially with that offense that he's in. Doctson, I think he's a huge sleeper candidate. I mean, if he is actually recovered from the Achilles injury last year, I think he'll fit right in, right behind with Crowder and Pryor, and make that offense even more potent with Cousins, you know, jumping the ball everywhere.
Yeah, I'm staying away from Treadwell as well. I don't see any good coming from having him on my team unless I have everybody else on a bye week for some reason. But I do like Doxson's upside. I think he could come through and you know, be a big part of that offense as well. You know, like we've already talked about, they lost, you know, a decent amount of firepower between Deshaun and Garcon. So we'll see what happens with him. And you know, Reed is going to be an injury hazard. So I think Doctson could fill in pretty well as a nice third target in those games that Reed's out.
He might be out early already. He's already dealing with like a toe injury or something like that. So already it begins with Jordan Reed. Yeah, I agree, though. Doctson's intriguing. I mean, everybody was really excited about this kid last year, and, you know, he got injured a bunch. You know, didn't play, but what, the one game he came in on a few snaps or something like that. Look, I think this guy is going to be a monster eventually. He's just got to figure it out and clearly stay healthy. But, you know, late in drafts, I'll take a flyer on him. Why not? So, Dennis, next thing we got here is our reaches and steals. So give me one player that you think owners are reaching on right now in drafts.
Well, I'm probably going to take the easy way out on this one, but I'm going to say T.Y. Hilton. I think with Luck's injury and his uncertainty of what's going to happen with them this season, I wouldn't touch Hilton at all, especially being he's being drafted in the top 10 receivers, I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was actually looking at T.Y. myself, but I kind of went a little bit lower, and I don't know if people are necessarily reaching on this guy, but I'm going with Sammy Watkins. I mean, I still feel like he's got a good, a good following, so to speak, and people are still really in love with this guy, and he just hasn't performed.
Still a third-round pick.
I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him before the sixth round. I mean, he's talented. I cannot dispute his talent, but he needs to stay on the field, and he hasn't shown that he can do that. So he's my reach.
Yeah, my reach is Julian Edelman. And the ADP isn't crazy, but it's still 56 for a guy who – and that's standard. So you're still having to take him in what's that? Is that the fifth round? For a guy who really is only good in PPR leagues. Let's be perfectly honest about this. And a guy who is now not going to be the number one wide receiver most weeks in New England. I want no part of Julian Edelman this year. Not to mention he's had trouble staying on the field himself lately. So I don't want any part of him. I mean, he's going before guys like Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, Crowder, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, give me those guys all day, every day before Julian Edelman. Everybody who wants to reach on Julian Edelman because you know who he is because he plays for the Patriots, go right ahead. So, all right, guys, so that's our reach. Give me the guy that you think could be a steal in drafts this year.
All right. My steal is Mike Wallace of the Ravens. I think he's being taken as a 53rd wide receiver. He was Ravens' top receiver last year. He had over 1,000 yards. Ravens lost three other teams' top four receivers from last season. And I think he'll be a target hound. He still can get deep. I think it's a steal at that price of the draft.
Yeah, that's a fantastic one. That's a fantastic one.
Yeah, I was leaning towards him as well. So we're obviously on the same wavelength here. But I had to go with kind of a forgotten soul in Randall Cobb. I mean, he had some injury woes last year, but he's still on a very powerful, again, throw-first offense with Rodgers. And Davante Adams did have a nice breakout year finally last year, but I still don't see him as the number two guy above Cobb, if Cobb is healthy. Cobb's shown that he's still productive when he is healthy, so I think that people are going to be jumping on board with Adams, you know, really early. But I still think he's a number two.
That's I agree that he's a little bit of a steal where he is, but I'm not sure I agree with you on the whole number two thing still. But yeah, that said. My steal, and I've got a couple here. I'm gonna give a bonus one at the end. My original steal is Adam Thielen. I think this guy just proved himself last year that he's legit. I mean, even when Diggs came back from the injury and Diggs was playing, you know, relatively well, Thielen was the better receiver down the stretch for them. And his ADP is ridiculously low. It's 122. I mean, you can basically get him before, like, the rounds right before you take your defense and your kickers. I mean, like, that's what we're looking at here. So, you know, it's almost right there with Mike Wallace. I mean, Mike Wallace is even lower. Like, I was looking at the list, and for some reason his name didn't pop out to me, or else I think I would have picked it. But, you know, Adam Thielen's, you know, like, six receivers in front of him. I mean, it's crazy to think. And then my bonus pick here, and I couldn't believe how low he was, is Robert Woods for the Rams. 237. I mean, that's undrafted. I mean, that's undrafted. He's going to be the number one receiver in L.A. And yes, I know, it's L.A. It's the Rams. They're not very good. But they still have to throw the ball. Somebody still has to catch the ball. It's going to be Robert Woods. I mean, Robert Woods was fairly good, you know, at times last year and the year before. I'm not taking him before, like, the last round or the next to last round. But I think you could find a pretty valuable player and a pretty useful player that late with him. And you don't want to forget about it. So that's what I've got there for reaches and steals. And we're done with the wide receiver preview there, Dennis. So I'll let you, kind of say your last 2 cents here and let everybody know where they can find you on the internet and things like that.
Well, thanks again for inviting me. You know, as an inside joke, I still don't have a Twitter account, so you can follow
me. Like he's just going to make me mad now.
So you can see my articles on socalledexperts.com and fantasysixpack.com. And thanks again for having me, and good luck with your drafts, guys.
All right, thanks, Dennis. Glad to
have
you on.
Thanks a lot for coming on.
All right, take care.
Have a good night. All right, yeah, so that's the wide receiver preview. AJ, I don't know. Do you wanna take a few minutes and run through a few of these like bigger trades in baseball? I mean, I know we, you know, if big trade deadline, I feel like we owe it to our listeners to do a little bit of baseball with all this.
Yeah, I think so. I just put down a couple of different things here when I was writing this up today. Basically, we're looking at, you know, the biggest deals that we saw were really, you know, really what the Yankees did. I mean, they went pretty all in on everything, getting my boy Todd the Bod Frazier.
Your boyfriend.
And yes, exactly. and a couple relievers. They bring in David Robinson back into the fold, and I think Tommy Canale is his name. He actually pitched earlier tonight for Yankees. But then they also went out and they got Sonny Gray, who was arguably the best pitcher on the trading block due to his team control, and the fact that he's just been pitching like the Sonny Gray of old. His last, you know, five, six games or so. And then they went out and picked up Jaime Garcia, or Jaime Garcia, however he pronounces it, who was just traded a week ago from the Braves to Minnesota. He went and played, pitched one game for Minnesota and had a good outing. And then the following week, he's back up in New York now. So, you know, they really went, got some pieces to make their playoff run here. And then a couple other bigger names, obviously Yu Darvish, after his horrendous outing, final outing for Texas, which I just read that it sounded like he was tipping some pitches in that game. And that's why he got so abused.
Who knows?
But I don't know. I don't know if I'm buy into that or not. So either way, that was a big pickup for the Dodgers, who obviously lost Kershaw to the DL. So I guess they're going to go with a 6-man rotation right now, or they're just going to throw somebody else on the DL in another week, like they've been doing all season. So who the hell knows? Another big bat, JD Martinez, has been awesome for Arizona. I mean, he's been awesome this year. I kind of am a little rethinking that trade that I made for Gary Sanchez, giving up Martinez. I mean, he was out obviously to start the season, but then Sanchez missed time as karma. So, he's just been absolutely raking since he's been to Arizona though. And that was a pre-trade deadline trade, obviously. Jonathan Lucroy going from Texas to Colorado. Again, another Texas player being unloaded. So I think the Rangers are really looking at, okay, we're too far out of it. You know, we're waving the white flag and we're looking to the future at this point. Lucroy's had a pretty down season. Maybe the boost in Colorado will help him, and going back to the NL will help him. So he's someone to keep an eye on. And then the other offensive name, not a big name, but Melky Cabrera got shifted over in the division from the White Sox to Kansas City. I actually got to see him play last night as well. Our seats were right in right field there, so that was fun. But you got anything to add offensive wise?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know it wasn't all offense because you talked about Yu Darvish.
Well, yeah.
And you talked about Jaime Garcia and Sonny Gray and stuff like that. But, I mean, absolutely. The Yankees, I think they won the trade deadline. I know a lot of people are looking to that Yu Darvish trade and thinking like, oh, my God, when Kershaw comes back, that team's going to be unstoppable. Dude, I don't know. Darvish has really struggled this year, and it's not just because of that last start where he allowed like 10 runs. He's not been the same Yu Darvish. I mean, his ERA is way up. His strikeouts per nine is almost like it's 1.5 to 2 below last year. He's not the same Yu Darvish. So you've got to wonder. I mean, yeah, he gets a boost because he goes to the National League and that's just what happens. But I mean, who knows? Maybe he gets stuck pitching in Colorado or Arizona in the playoffs, because at least one of them is going to be one of the wild card teams, I would imagine. So, because those two teams are still playing very well. Martinez to Arizona was crazy. Like, I was actually kind of shocked that happened. I don't even remember who they gave up to get Martinez, but it didn't feel like a lot. Lucroy to Colorado.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah, Lucroy to Colorado. I don't know, man. Like, I'm so mad at myself for taking a catcher early, but I thought I had like a stud with Lucroy in our league. I was like, whatever. I just wanted to worry about this position all year long. And man, was I wrong. He's been awful. I finally just dumped him. I didn't even care. And nobody has picked him up, even though he's moved to Colorado, because nobody cares.
Yeah.
Sneaky play, man, though, but Melky's a sneaky pickup by Kansas City. Like, I saw it and was like, really? It's Melky. Like, who cares? And then I started looking like, you know, they're dealing with not a lot of good stuff in the outfield after Kane. And so they really could use some help there and some stability in the outfield. That's a good baseball pickup. It's not fantasy,
yeah.
Fantasy baseball. That's a good baseball pickup. But yeah, man, the Yankees, as I hate to say it, but the Yankees absolutely destroyed this trade deadline.
Yeah. Going back to the Melky pickup. Yeah. Gordon's obviously a plus defender, but he's been atrocious offensively this year. And you know, Kane even hasn't been very good. I mean, he's had some streaks where he's been good, but overall he's kind of down from where he usually is too. So I definitely like the move for Kansas City. I think it's a nice little boost for him, and you know, you're hurting your division rival by taking their guy. But obviously we've seen that the White Sox just have zero F's to give at this point because they're in complete rebuild mode. So,
and they are rebuilding fantastically. Let me say, they are doing a hell of a job. They have so many prospects and so many good young players. It's ridiculous. They're going to be awesome.
And that's just it. And they can flip some of these prospects too. Like, if they don't feel like they're panning out the way that they want them to, they're just going to flip them to somebody who still has the faith in them, and then they're going to get, you know, solid players back. So they've been doing a very good job rebuilding. I agree with that. So then the next couple things couple guys I wrote down here is bullpen, and more bullpen. We've
and
got
more bullpen.
Yeah, exactly,
dude. It was all bullpen this time. It's crazy.
So we already talked about the two guys going to the Yankees in Robertson and Canale. Liriano comes from Toronto to Houston. Justin Wilson, closer, former setup guy from Detroit, is now going to the Cubs along with Alex Avila, but who cares? He's fallen off and he's not going to be their everyday catcher. I mean, the last 3 weeks, really, he's been like a every other or every other day catcher for Detroit. So Wilson is definitely the get for that. You know, the Cubs have a lot of guys in the bullpen, but Wilson is a known commodity. And now he adds the closing experience as well. So that was a nice pickup. Washington, man, I mean, all they've been doing is stockpiling relief pitchers. This trade deadline. I mean, they snagged both Doolittle and Madsen from Oakland a week and a half ago. And now they added Brandon Kinsler from Minnesota, took their closer. I mean, I know their closing role has been in flux basically all season. And now they have three guys with, you know, a good amount of closing experience coming their way. So it will be interesting to see who comes out on top, with that role now that Kinsler's there as well. A couple of New York Met moves. They get rid of Addison Reed and send him off to Boston, and then they pluck A.J. Ramos from their division rival in Miami to fill in for Reed. Now, they do obviously still have Familia, but he's out till who knows. So I like that move for them, I guess. I feel like Ramos is definitely an upgrade over Reed, although Reed has been pretty good this year. Filling in. So, but for him going to Boston, you know, obviously with Kimbrel there, he's going to be more of a setup guy. And then the last guy I had here, who I basically, you know, pinned as a definite moving part, was Pat Neshek from Philly to Colorado. And I believe that trade happened last week on our podcast day. It may have been right as I was talking about it or right after I talked about it, 'cause I noticed it the next day. I was like, oh, okay, well, never mind. He's already gone. So, I think the move to Colorado, obviously it's a better team. But there's obviously the factor of pitching in Colorado as well. So we'll see how that works against him. But Neshek has been phenomenal this year. So, That's a very good get for Colorado to shore up, you know, their setup role in front of Holland.
Yeah, it was a good move. I mean, it hurts him fantasy wise. I mean, was he finally getting saves? Is that what the deal was?
No.
So it doesn't
he pretty
really
much...
matter then. I thought he eventually was getting opportunities, but I guess they never ever gave it to him.
No, I think he may have had a couple here and there if one of the other guys was, you know, had pitched the past couple days or whatever, but I feel like that's probably few and far between with Philly. So he was more of the setup guy and like a 7th, 8th inning guy instead of the 9th. So.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all these moves, and you know, you didn't see any closers or any setup guys move to teams to become the closer. Like in years past, we have seen that. This year, we did not see that.
You saw guys like Justin Wilson moving to the Cubs, and so he's going to be the setup guy to Wade Davis. So he loses like all that fantasy value because of it. And then you got, you know, so the guys that own people like Wilson and Kinsler and Reed and Ramos, like now they are scrambling left to find closers. And so
yeah.
You can't just automatically go to the guy's backup, but you know, you're kind of almost forced to do that because they're the only people available. But honestly, the guy in Miami, I can't even think of their name right now. Like he's just, it's not even worth looking at there. I don't think the only guy, honestly, that I even was remotely interested in, and I picked him up in my dynasty league was Shane Green for Detroit. You know, he's been pitching well this year. He's already got a save this week. You know, he was the only guy that I kind of was like, yeah, all right, I'll go after him. You know, a lot of people thought that like Brad Hand was going to be on the move, but you know, if he moved from San Diego, he was going to get, you know, I don't think he was going to be a closer. You know, obviously Doolittle Madsen got closer stuff, but I mean, this is like, this has committee written all over it, also because it's Dusty Baker and he's an idiot when it comes to his bullpen. So who knows what he's really going to do. I guess I'm a little surprised and almost kind of disappointed that the Orioles didn't get rid of one of their guys, because I kind of think that either Brock or Britton could have moved to another team and been their closer, and that would have been, you know, good value for the both of them. And the Orioles obviously need something back in return. They need starting pitching prospects, something in return, because our pitching is atrocious. Although I'm watching right now, and as much as I bash the Jeremy Hellickson trade, he shut out the Royals so far through seven, which is astonishing. I'm like, what is happening? So, of course, now making him look like an a-hole for the second time this week, Hellickson and Donaldson have done a good job. So
yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, too. They threw up a stat before, because I had ESPN on earlier, and then the Boston-Cleveland game was delayed, so they flipped over to the Masson broadcast for the O's, and they had a stat up on Hellickson, and it was like, if he had his regular 4 days of rest, what was his, you know, ERA record, whatever, and then the same stats for 5+ days of rest. I mean, dude, this guy hasn't pitched since July 22nd. That's absurd.
Wow.
I mean, it because Philly knew that he was going to be on the move, and they just kept pushing his starts. And I think the way their schedule worked out too, they didn't need to have him. Plus they got, you know, Velazquez back in the fold, off of the DL, I believe. So that kind of changed things around a little bit, but his stats for like 5+ days of rest were complete opposite of what his regular 4-day rest was. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head now, but he was like undefeated. He had a ridiculously low ERA. It might've been in the ones. His whip might've been right around one, or slightly over still, but he was
now,
great.
Now, is that just this season, or is it, where was that?
Yeah,
like his
yeah, it's
career?
just from this season. So it was crazy to see that, because I mean, and we've owned Hellickson, so you know, we probably just were looking at, okay, well, he's having a good couple of games, oh, now he's having a streak of really bad games, let's dump him, and you lose him and you don't pay attention to it anymore. But yeah, man, he's pitching really well again tonight. I mean, shit, he's been off for 2 weeks. He should be.
Sometimes that hurts people because, you know, they're rusty and, you know, just whatever. But, yeah, I mean, whatever, man. If it works for him, it works for him. I don't know. I still don't love the move. I still don't really know why they bought. I didn't really enjoy getting rid of Hyunsoo Kim, although the O's clearly were not giving this guy a chance. So
no, they weren't.
I really didn't like the fact that we gave up a pitching prospect. That, yeah, he was like buried in the organizational depth chart, but you never know with these guys. That, you know, something clicks with them, they become studs. And the international signing bonus, we don't use it, and I don't know why. We need to. I mean, go try and just throw some money at it and see what happens. I don't know. But,
well, yeah, I mean, you don't have anything to lose, and now that you've gained these spots, go use them. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. And then they traded for Tim Beckham. Again, I don't think they gave up anything that was like, oh my gosh, but I don't know. Like, I don't know why we're going out and picking up pieces. I mean, the Tim Beckham thing almost makes more sense than Helixson from a standpoint that clearly we're moving on from Hardy and we need somebody. And I think Beckham
and
is under team control through next year at least. So that's,
yeah,
there's that.
He's definitely a controlled player. I mean, and he's got good peripherals and good, you know, ability and potential, but he just never has come into it. Yet I think he was with the White Sox before Tampa Bay, I believe. And then, yeah, he's just not, he never really, no, I'm thinking of Gordon Beckham. Sorry. I think it's a good move, though. I mean, I do like it. I think that we need something. I mean, I love J.J. Hardy, but he's always injured now, and it's a shame because he can't get into a good rhythm because of these injuries and not being on the field. So I guess they are trying to move on from him, and I can't remember if this is his last year on his deal or not. He might have one more year on it, but if not,
I want to say this is Hardy's last year.
Yeah,
but I'm not 100% sure either. But I mean, yeah, it's sad to say, but I think this is going to be. He's got one more year of $14 million. Wow. Yeah, you're going to be paid $14 million. Do a whole lot of nothing, buddy. Because it's just, I mean, even when he's out there, he's not getting it done. So it's sad because he was, you know, he's a fan favorite. If you've ever been to Oriole Park, anybody listening, you know, he comes up the bat, the PA announcer, it's the whole crowd chimes in with it. It's pretty awesome. So,
yeah.
But anyway, we've probably droned on too long here on that. Yeah, good trade deadline. Not a ton of like blockbuster moves, but you know, and I don't think we honestly didn't see some people move that we thought would get moved, but you know, we got the surprise with Yu Darvish and stuff like that. So there was a little bit of everything. So it was good. Just not a huge fan. I just don't think a lot of impact from fantasy except for the bullpen area. That's where the biggest impact was this year. Everybody's scrambling to find their closers again. But,
yep.
All right.
Same thing.
Well,
every
that is
year.
It. Yeah, I know, right? So that is it for the show. Next week, we've got Alex Hamrick on to help us cover the tight end position, and we will be back next week, same time, same place. See you all later.
All right. Good night.